We're always concerned about those that are not here, but we need to appreciate those that are here. And I do appreciate each one of you being here tonight. I appreciate the support that you give me and the mention that you make of me in your prayers when I'm gone and even when I'm also in the area. I handed out a sheet to you tonight to use in this sermon. And there may be those that will be listening to this sermon on our website, and if that's the case when you listen to it, you need to get a sheet of paper and a pencil that you can write down the first part and then deal with some of this as we go through. As we begin the lesson, I would mention to you that 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6 says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." That can be good or that can be bad. You can have a sack of potatoes and have one rotten potato in it, and the whole sack will stink. You can have a group of people together, especially young people, who are about to get into trouble and have one young person who will take a stand for what's right and control the whole situation. If I told you that there's just one drop in that glass that you're drinking, just one drop of rat poisoning, I don't think you'd drink us up. If I told you that I had a field with 100 watermelons in it and one of those watermelons was poisoned, I doubt that you would take any of the 100 and eat it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There is a passage in Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10 that says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and when shall he make to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." It's amazing how just one word or even one letter or the arrangement of letters can change the whole situation. The classic example of that has always been what happened in the Garden of Eden. Relative to the tree of knowledge and good and evil, God said, "In the day that you eat of it, ye shall surely die." Satan came along and he didn't change that statement but with one word. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." We are fairly familiar with the fact that the "not" will change anything and turn it in the other direction. But sometimes one letter will change the whole situation. Back in Judges 12, there was a time that people were trying to cross the water, the sea or the river, to get on the other side, and there was what you might call a checkpoint. And there were those of the Ephraimites who were claiming to be from Gilead in order to get across. And they had a test to give them. They asked each man who came up to say the word Shiboleth, Shiboleth. And it says that if he said Sibboleth, that he could not frame the H in that word, then they knew that he was not the thing that he claimed to be. If he said he was not an Ephraimite, they would ask him to say Shiboleth. And he would say Sibboleth and would not get to go over. There are people today who have difficulty sounding a certain letter in the alphabet. Some people cannot say R. I think sometimes that my son-in-law is like that. He's from Maine, and he drives a car instead of a car. And if you ask him about what's going on, he'll tell you that he's got an idea instead of an idea. Just changes it one word. And of course, that's the way people speak. We think they speak in a funny manner, and those in the northern states think those of us in the south speak in a funny manner. And sometimes it's just one letter that will make the entire difference. I've been working on this lesson for a long time, just jotting down words and thoughts when I would find them. I want you to look at the side that just has a very narrow column where there's basically one word. When we turn, there will be two words in most columns. So if you're on the side where you see two words at most points, then turn back to the other side. I have jotted down here 14 words and statements that I have accumulated over the last several years. And when we look at these, and all of these will be in sort of a negative connotation, we'll turn over to the other side and I'll show you how that by changing one letter or a couple letters or one word or rearranging the way the words are, that we can make each one of these a positive point. Look at the word apart, A-P-A-R-T. That's just the opposite of what God wants us to be. He wants us to be together. He wants a husband and wife to be together, not apart. He wants family members to be together, not apart. He wants Christians to be together, not apart. It's amazing to me how many congregations there are even today where I go in meetings that it seems that some of the members are far apart in the way they look at things and the way they do things. The second one there is two words with a little and in between, out and going. And that suggests sometimes where some of our family members are. If you were to ask where they are, well, they're out and going. It means they're away from home, and many times that means you don't know where they are. And I think I could safely say today that about 12 of our folks here at Madison County are out and going somewhere. We know where most of them are, but they're not here, so they're out and going, right? And that sometimes can have a bad connotation. Another word is the word inactive. That word describes so many members of the church. We have a lot of people who are members of the church who don't do anything that's very bad. They wouldn't lie or steal, but they're just inactive. They're not doing anything. In those three stories in Luke 15, you've got the prodigal son that was in the mire of sin, but then you've got the sheep that was just away from the other sheep and the coin that was lost right in the house. It was right there in the room with the other coins, but it was inactive. It was not where the lady could spend it. And most of the time, in every congregation, there are people who maybe would never miss an assembly of the church, but they won't do anything. They won't use their talents in the Lord's service. They're the ones that are always saying, let somebody else do it, or I can't do as well as somebody else does. And so they are inactive. I wish I could know tonight how many inactive Christians there are in Jackson and Madison County. If you had a list of every person in this county that once obeyed the gospel and was baptized into Christ, who's not involved in worship anywhere today, I think you'd be amazed at how long that list is. It's been estimated that in most places there are as many former members or erring members out there who are inactive as there are members who are active. And that's not going to help the cause of Christ. Look at the next word, and these are somewhat related. The word untied, U-N-T-I-E-D. That means that there's a looseness. That means that it's like we were talking a moment ago. People are not together as they should be. And sometimes in different relationships that we could mention in life, home, business, school, church, whatever, community, there are people who are sort of untied. They're not together in their relationships. The next word is the word evil. There's a lot of evil in the world today. The next word after that is the word devil. And I don't know that I had really noticed till I wrote these down that all you've got to do to the word evil to have devil is add the D. And that may be a lesson in and of itself. But when you think about evil, you think about the devil. When you think about the devil, you think about evil. And as we listen to the newscast and read the newspapers and know what's going on even in our country today, there's a lot of evil going on. I have said in the past years that if you turn on the Memphis news, that at least there'll be at least one murder every day. And it's getting to the point that it seems like that if you turn on the Jackson news, it's almost like that. There's a lot of evil. The funeral that I attended on Friday was brought about because a sexual pervert, 70 years old, broke into a house and literally murdered a 43-year-old mother and her 21-year-old handicapped son, and then went to his apartment and killed himself. We don't really understand many times what's right next door to us, what's out there. I'm thankful that we live in a part of the country where it's not usually as bad as that, and we have a tremendously number of good people, no doubt about that, but there's a lot of evil, and certainly the devil is alive and well. Look at the next word, weakly, W-E-A-K-L-Y. That may describe how we go about many things, that we're not really energetic, we're not really dedicated, we don't really put our shoulders to the task. And so we go about it in a weakly manner, and the next word is related, and that's the word dally. You hear people say, well, he's just dilly-dallying. He's just doing a little bit to get by. He's just dallying in what he's doing. And then the next word is another word for the devil, and that's the word Satan, which takes with it the same connotation as the devil. The next word is the word silent. Now, silence is sometimes good. And I need to learn that lesson especially. There are times I'd be better off if I were silent instead of saying something. And I think as I get a little older, I'm learning to do that more than I used to. There's a tendency on the part of some of us to always be ready to say something. You remember Peter was like that among the apostles, wasn't he? If something came up, he was always ready to say something. Well, there are times that we need to be silent, but there are times that we don't need to be silent. And I think many times when it comes to teaching the gospel, we may be silent when we should be saying something. When it comes to standing up for right, there's a problem with being silent. You remember the phrase, the silent majority in our country today? And the idea of that is that we've got many, many good people out there who really don't believe some of the laws that are being passed, but they won't go vote, they won't say anything about it, and so we've got the silent majority that's allowing the loud minority to control most of the things in this country. And I think there's a lot of truth in that idea, because people are not standing up for what is right. And then look at the phrase, just a man. Oh, he's just a man. You can expect these things. And I suspect maybe you women have said that more than the rest of us. He's just a man. That's the way men act. That's what you can expect it. He's just a man. And sometimes even when we're thinking about our relationship to God, we'll say, well, we're just human. Oh, we're just men or human. Just a man. And then look at the next one and notice the punctuation marks in it. How many times have you gotten up in the morning and say, what is it day? Or maybe is it another day? If you're living a life where there's not very much in it that's pleasing and encouraging, you may take that attitude. What? Is it morning or is it day again? And then that next one, love things and use people, may describe the attitude that a tremendous number of people have today in life. Most of us, if we're not careful, allow ourselves to love things. That's why God warned about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if we're not careful, we'll use people to get the things that we want. At least several people do that. There are those who have no problem running over the rights of others to get the things that they want. And so you can describe a lot of people as those who love things and use people. And then that last statement, what in the world are you doing? Now, if you are a parent, I'm pretty sure you've said that somewhere down the line. A child is doing something that he shouldn't do. And what's the first thing you ask? What in the world are you doing? And sometimes as adults, we ask the same thing. Now flip your sheet to the other side, and I want to show you how easy it is to change every one of those. If we separate the words and apart and make them be two words, and I should have put another space in between there, didn't realize it till I printed. But if we made apart the two words, a part, then we would be describing what we need to be in the church. We need to be a part of the church. We need to be a part of the work. We need to be a part of the family. In other words, we need to belong and we need to feel like we belong. I'm reminded of Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, and I think one version translates that part, which every part supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That says every person is contributing something. That's when you have a good family situation, if every person is a part of it and contributing something. If you're running a business, if everybody in the business feels that I'm a part of this business, then it will usually be successful. And I found down through the years that one of the most important things in local work with any congregation is try to help every member of that congregation feel like he's a part of it, that he's a part of the work. Because you see, if you get up on Sunday morning and you've got something to do, or you feel like that you're needed, that you're a part of something, it will be much easier for you to get ready to come and worship God. In the second one, where we had out and going, take that and out, put those two words together, and you've got outgoing. And that's the kind of personality that I think we really need in our association with one another. There's an introvert that's sort of shut in, and there's an extrovert that's outgoing. Now, admittedly, I may be sometimes too outgoing. As I said a moment ago, there are times when I'd probably be better off if I shut my mouth. But I find that being outgoing and talking to people is worth a great deal. If I go into a mall and sitting there a while, if somebody sits down by me, I start talking. 9 times out of 10, I'll find that we are related to somebody, or we know the same person, or we've been to the same place. It's amazing how many conversations you can have. And I've had some good things come out of conversations like that. When I go for a meeting, I try to be there at least 20, 30 minutes early before the service starts. And I like to go around, and when I get in the pulpit in a meeting, I try to have already spoken to every person that's there. So that, first of all, it helps them to get used to how I look, and that's helpful to them. Not a surprise when I step in the pulpit. But it also creates a relationship. We need to be outgoing to people. Now, the next one was together, and we're separating it. Instead of being inactive, we need to be in and active. Instead of doing nothing, we need to be in Christ and in the church, and then be active as a part of that. You need to be in school and active in school in carrying out your responsibilities. And then look at the next one, untied. Turn that T and I around and look what you've got. United. All you've got to do to change untied to united is just switch two letters around on paper. And that's sort of the way it is in life. If we are untied and not together and apart from each other, if we'll just make a few minor changes, we can be united in standing as Americans, united in standing as Christians. And then it's interesting to me that I discovered that if you turn the word evil around and spell it backwards, it spells live or live. And if you turn the word devil around and spell it backwards, it spells lived. Well, certainly we need to change evil to good, don't we? And we need to change from following the devil to living the right kind of life. And you can take the same letters that spell evil and spell live or live. You can take the same letters that spell devil and spell lived. Just a few minor changes can make a difference. Look at the next one, the word weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y. Change that A to another E, and you've got W-E-E-K-L-Y. Our land buying store is to be weekly, with two E's. Our observance of the Lord's Supper is to be weekly, with two E's. Our assembling on the first day of the week is to be weekly, with two E's. But how many people do you think there are when it comes to giving and observing the Lord's Supper and attending the services that it's W-E-A-K-L-Y instead of W-E-E-K-L-Y? And then you take that word daily, which suggests the idea a little here and a little there, not much at any time or in anything, and change one of those L's to an I, and you've got the word daily. And it's interesting to take the Bible and study the word daily. Daily worship, daily cross-bearing, daily benevolence, daily teaching, daily service. Instead of dallying in Christianity, we need to live the Christian life on a daily basis. And here's one that I discovered just recently. If you take the letters that spell Satan and rearrange them, they spell Santa. Now, Santa may be fictional in some ways, but at least it carries with it the idea of something that's good, something that's giving, something that promotes joy. And so just by changing the letters in the word Satan, we have a word that suggests things that are good. And if you take the word silent and change the letters around using the same letters, you can spell the word listen. Maybe those two words are twins in a sense that we do need to be silent and listen some. But we certainly need to listen more than we do. And when I'm making that point, I'm getting on my toes if I'm getting on anybody's toes. I am much better at talking than I am listening. I've had more experience, perhaps, is why that's the case. But many times we don't understand what the other person is saying because we don't listen. And we have a tendency to make the other person say what we want them to say instead of, did I hear you right? Is this what you're saying? One of the methods that's used in marriage counseling is to get husband and wives to ask that question. When your wife says something to you, and especially if you think you didn't understand it, stop and say, now, did I understand you to say? And then maybe she'll say, well, no, I didn't say that. Well, you need to learn it at that point instead of later that that's not what she said. We need to listen. We need to listen when we're in worship. I'm beginning to try to get the point across to 5 and 6 year olds that they need to sit with the songbook. When we're singing, look at that songbook. And when we're praying, listen to everything that's said. Listen to teaching or the reading of the Bible. Many of our problems come about because we just didn't listen. My problem is that I have my mind on something else. When I should be listening to something, I'm thinking about something else. Perhaps as you're talking to me, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say when you hush. And sometimes don't even wait until you hush. We need to listen more than we do. Take that statement, just a man, and turn the first two words around, and you've got the statement, a just man. Instead of just a man, each Christian should be a just man, just in his dealings with others. And you take those words, what is it day, and remove some of the grammatical markings and turn it around a little bit, and you've got the question, what day is it? And in a very controlled way, that's a good question to ask at the beginning of each day. And not just to ask what day is it as far as the calendar is concerned, or what day is it as far as the week is concerned, But what day is it as far as my life is concerned? If every person would take 5 minutes at the beginning of every day and ask this question in some form or other, what day is it? What is today? What do I need to do today? How does today fit into my life? Instead of getting up in sort of a sarcastic way saying, what is it day? If we would ask the question, what day is it? In the right way, it might be very helpful. And then we notice that statement, love things and use people. Just turn those two words around and you've got the way it ought to be. We need to love people and use things. People are going to go past death into eternal life. Things are not. All the things that occupy our time and our efforts, one of these days will not exist anymore. But every person with whom you're associated will exist. The story goes about a mother and a father and watching their kids play out in the backyard. And the mother said, I want you to look at all the grass they're tearing down. Look how bare some of those spots are. And the husband said, there'll be time to grow grass. We're growing children. A teacher was asked, do you teach math or English? She said, I teach children. We need to learn to think in terms of people. Being a people person is extremely important in life. I'll guarantee you, if you are a people person, when you have problems, you'll have friends there to help. You won't have to even beg them to help. You treat people right, you serve people, you love people and use things, and you'll find a difference in life. And then take that statement, and I purposely put this at the last. On the other side, the question was, what in the world are you doing? Take those same words and rearrange them and rearrange the tone of voice. And the question is, what are you doing in the world? Not what in the world are you doing, but what are you doing in the world? And I suspect that that's a question that God's asking about each one of us tonight. Because you see, he looks at how we live. He keeps a record of what we do. And he'll bring that record into the day of judgment. And so perhaps each day we need to ask the question, what am I doing in the world? Or what are you doing in the world? What difference do I make? I may not be able to make a lot of difference, but if I can just make a little bit of difference, and each one who's a Christian can make a little bit of difference, it will matter in the long run. Sometimes we may get the idea in a smaller congregation like this. What are we accomplishing? What am I doing? Or what are you doing? Maybe we need to stop and look at it from the standpoint of what are we really doing in God's service? You see, Paul said on one occasion in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I think many times, folks, we try to play God instead of being ourselves. We need to do the planting and the watering, and God will take care of the increase. And so the question is, what in the world are you doing? And so you take those down the right-hand side and the bottom ones where there's two together, and it changes the whole picture. Where we had 14 words and phrases on the other side that were all negative, by just changing a word or a letter, we've made all 14 of them positive. And that's sort of, I think, what Christianity is about. We have all the negative things around us, and we need to sort of make the little changes, and sometimes it's just a little change, to make those negative things positive, and to live the Christian life for the benefit of saving our own souls and leading others to Christ. This is what I had in mind when I said, here a little, there a little. Little things make a difference. Don't ever forget that. And if you think what you're doing or what you're saying is not important, that it's just a little thing, it may be the difference. It may be the difference in helping someone to get over the hump in life, or helping someone to put up a barrier to keep them from going where they ought to go. Let's look for the little things and try to change them from negative to positive in living the Christian life. And I would ask you the question tonight, what are you doing in the world? What are you doing for God? Are you a member of His body? Are you living as you should as a member of it? If you need to be baptized into Christ, or if you need to come asking for forgiveness, come as together we stand and sing.
Have thine own way, Lord.